Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our future's so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day of crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
If you do not have clear, specific goals for your life, you are doomed forever to work for people who do.
People say, well, geez, I wish my life was better. Show me your written goals. Well, you don't have any written goals. Then don't tell me you wish your life was better, because you're lying to me and you're lying to yourself, because you really don't want to improve your life if you've been told 1,000 times you've got to have written goals and you don't have any. Just go away. I don't mean to be harsh, but I'm trying to drive a point home. There are 4 major obstacles to goal setting. Because everybody's heard about goal setting all their lives, why is it that everybody doesn't have goals? Here they are. A, the fear of rejection, of criticism. People are afraid to set goals because when they set goals as children, people rained on their parade, insulted them, made fun of them, and made them feel bad when they didn't accomplish them. So here's the key to goal setting. Don't tell anybody. When you set goals, don't tell anybody. The only people you discuss your goals with are the people like who also have goals, who will encourage you with your goals and will tell you that your goals are attainable and tell you that you can do it and encourage you to believe it. Now, the second reason that people don't set goals is people don't know how. Remember I said the greatest danger that you can have is to think you know how when you don't know how at all? People think, well, you just write down a list of what you want to do. Well, that's helpful, but it's not enough. The third reason, C, is that people don't realize the importance of goals. If you've been brought up in a family where goals were not constantly emphasized, if you associate with people who don't talk about and work on goals all the time, you can actually drift along not even aware that goals are central to success in life. D is fear of failure. Fear of failure is the number one reason for failure in adult life, is we don't like to feel that we failed. We don't like to feel low self-esteem. So we very carefully protect ourselves from these feelings of low self-esteem. And how do we do that? We don't set any goals at all. We sabotage ourselves unconsciously by not setting goals for ourselves so we can't fail. But of course, if you don't set goals for yourself, you can't succeed either. Okay, so the ability to set goals and to make plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. It's the master skill. It's the core skill that if you master this skill, your life will be tremendous. And if you master all other skills but this, your life will be diminished to that degree. It's like you learn to do everything in the world but never learn to use a telephone. Doesn't mean that you can't function. It just means that your life will be diminished dramatically compared to what it could be. Now, desire, and this is where we start. Desire is the first of the 12 points. Desire is the only real limit to your abilities. The only question you ever have to ask is, how badly do you want it? If you want it badly enough, the key word for success is hungry. How hungry are you? You've heard the famous story of Socrates, when Socrates was the leading philosopher of Athens, and people would come to him to study philosophy, and one day a young man came up and said, I want to be a philosopher. What do I have to do to be a philosopher? Please tell me. He said, well, he said, are you sure you want to be a philosopher? It takes many years of thinking and so on. Doesn't pay well. He said, well, yes, I know I want to be a philosopher. Well, how badly? I really badly. Really? He said. And he took him, he said, come with me. I want to show you something. And they were walking by a lake, took him by the arm, and they walked into the lake, just sort of strolled into the lake. You sure you want to be a philosopher? Yes, I do. They're walking into this lake, and the water is getting deeper and deeper. When it got to about this height, Socrates then suddenly took him and plunged his head under the water and held it down. And the young man thought, well, this is just something that they did. So he didn't struggle or anything. And then Socrates held him down there. The young man realized he wasn't about to let him up. And he started to panic. He started to kick and he started to become absolutely terrified. And finally, at the last moment, Socrates pulled him up above the water. And he said, what were you thinking about just now? He said, oxygen. All I was thinking about was breathing. He said, when you want philosophy as much as you wanted oxygen, then you will be a philosopher and not until. When you want your goals so badly, that's all you think about only that goal. You think about achieving only that goal. When you want it that badly, you will achieve. There's nothing that will stop you. Desire is the factor. What do you want? And here are the 2 keys with regard to desire. A, it must be personal. You can't say, I want someone to love me. People come up to me and say, well, how do I get this person to love me and want to marry me? I said, you cannot set a goal for another person. You want to be in a perfect relationship. So what you do is you describe your perfect relationship. Any of you who are single, by the way, The way to finding the perfect relationship is very simple. Is you sit down and you make a list of the perfect person, as though you were going to hire someone to run your company. And you make a list of the perfect person and you describe them in detail. Height, weight, size, education, experience, personality, background, temperament, interest, enthusiasm, leisure time, activities, everything. Just write down everything that you want in the perfect person. I have given this exercise to countless people when they were single, and they've been astonished at how fast they met the perfect person. Sometimes they found the perfect person was a coworker. Sometimes they found it was someone that they've known for a long time. But the very act of crystallizing it by writing it down, by deciding what you want, not what anybody else wants, not what you should want, not what your parents think is good for you, but what you really want, and writing it down, activates this force field of attraction and starts to draw that person into your life. Same with business relationships. And B, they must be burning, intense, passionate. A major definite purpose is something that you do not have to make yourself work on. You can hardly wait to work on it. In fact, when you are working on your major definite purpose, there's a measure. And you know what it is? You become very impatient with the physical need of having to sleep. It makes you impatient. So you're always structuring your time so that you are sleeping the amount that you need, but only that, because you want to get up and get going. You find that your friendships change. You find that friendships that you have will diminish and die away because they are useless wastes of your time. The people are shallow. They don't read. They have nothing to say. They have the same things to say every time you meet them, the same problems, the same crummy lives. You know, they complain all the time, and you find that you no longer have time for these people. When you start to get excited about something that you are excited about, burning desire, something that you're in love with, you find that all of your other tastes and appetites change as well.
The next stage, number two,
is belief. It's so important. Belief means that you need to develop an absolute conviction that your goal is possible.
See, if you have a belief that you don't deserve success, or if you have a belief, am I smart enough? Am I good enough? Do I deserve success? Do I really know what to do? Can I really do this? What if I fail? What if I try my hardest and I fail? Then you're going to have opposing goals and opposing beliefs. So let's say, for all of you people who like the law of attraction, let's say you have a goal of making $100,000. If your goal is to make $100,000, but your belief is that you only deserve to make $50,000, you're going to be out of sync or out of vibration. So if your goal is $100,000 and that's an X-type vibration, and your belief is a $50,000 belief and that's a Y-type vibration, you're going to be out of vibration, or you're going to have what's known as a chaotic vibration. And they'll basically cancel each other out. Or you'll do a little bit of hard work, and then you'll sabotage your success. Or you'll think you can achieve it for a day or two, but then things will happen where it doesn't work as smoothly as you like, and you'll give up hope.
So belief is absolutely important. The rule about beliefs is your beliefs become your realities. As William James of Harvard said, belief creates the actual fact. If you absolutely believe it, you will walk, talk, think, feel, behave, and get results consistent with your beliefs. And how can you tell what your innermost beliefs and convictions are? By what you say or wish or hope or intend, or by what you do. What you do is the only measure. But there is a principle of reversibility, remember. If you act exactly as you would act, if you're absolutely convinced that something was possible for you, the action itself creates the conviction. It's a principle of reversibility. In other words, if you feel confident, you act confident. But if you don't feel confident, act confident, and it will cause you to feel confident. This is, again, one of the great breakthroughs in human thought, is that we act our way into feeling by doing the things consistent with the feelings and beliefs that we would like to have.
Now, number three.
Write it down. This is the turning point, by the way.
Is when you write your goals down clearly, they take on a power of their own in your mind. You pull them out of the air where they have no substance at all,
and you write them down on paper, and now you have something you can touch. Your goals must be in writing. Many people say, oh, I know exactly what I want. And I've met and worked with these people over the years, and you know something? They're almost all failures. They say, oh, I know what I want. I don't have to write it down. Yes, you do, because until you start writing, we find that there's an incredible connection between the head and the hand. And when you start to write goals, you'll be absolutely astonished what comes out on the paper. And when you write a goal down, you engage in what is called a psychoneuromotor activity. You activate your visual powers, your audio powers, and your kinesthetic powers. And whatever you write down, you actually program straight into your subconscious mind where it starts to work 24 hours a day. Great stuff, let me tell you.
Only 3% of Americans have written goals. And you know something? Everybody works for them. Everybody works for people who have...
I see my possibility.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success.
Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test.
But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. Much more than I can see, and so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. To the head, I won't go back.
I see my possibility.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Everybody, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله. How's it going today?
It's going well. Today's been a good day. Okay, it's starting to heat up a little bit, so you can hear me okay?
Yeah, I had to switch out my speaker now and put it on earphone. Go.
Okay, yeah, no, everything is well. Adjusting, the seasons are changing, adjusting to what the weather is going to look like. So today is a lot warmer, so I always think about, okay, how prepared are you for when this summer hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no, everything's good. I am choosing to be a obedient student to life, taking in all the lessons, staying attention, and seeing like, okay, what is this supposed to unfold for me in this season? So everything's good. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have the awareness to embrace it and go, okay,
let's do it. And then I have some
wonderful projects that I can't wait until it is time for me to share. Like, one will be ready, inshallah, next month. The other one, I'm putting a goal date on it, but I'm not pressuring myself to rush through it. But one is finished, and I can't wait to come back and share that with our World Creation Preservation Family. So.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. That's good. Because we have to have our realizations, manifestations, actualizations, all of those things, they have got to be real. I've come to increasing realizations as well. We thank Allah, you know. And so, mashallah, we'll get to it. You know, you work at something,
so
work at something.
And
you,
like the video you shared.
What about it?
The recording you shared?
The audio itself?
The Brian Tracy audio
you
shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you see? Oh no. I got it right here. I'll just tell everybody what it was. It's actually a 25-minute piece by Brian Tracy, "How to Master the Art of Goal Setting." That's how it's mentioned on the YouTube. So if you want to listen to the rest of it, "How to Master the Art of Goal Setting" with Brian Tracy.
Yeah, I love that.
I actually sent you that link. You have it there.
Yeah, you did. I thought when I opened it. Okay, good.
Yeah, but I tricked you because I did it earlier. Normally I do it, you know, right on the cusp of the broadcast, right? And I said it real early today. So it's like, oh, well, yeah,
you were ready.
You got to go back down the ladder. Let me get out the way and let you do what you do.
Okay.
And I'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum to all of our listeners on Blog Talk, as well as those that are following us currently via Facebook or YouTube Live. I am Pamela Shuaib. I'm the CEO and owner of Love is Always the Subject, and my goal is to provide tools for the preservation and the documentation of our human experiences for spiritual transformation. I believe that this time and space that we are in now, I have to first start off by being so amazingly grateful to Allah for the resources of family, the resources of, you know, my extended family, bloodline, and ancestry, for being diligent in having a system that has evolved over time, right? So I say that because this mentioning of the video, the audio that was shared with the Blog Talk about write it down, right? And journaling, I have created a very much intentional relationship with journaling. I've always journaled, right? But it wasn't journaling with a very clear intention. It was a space for, as a young child, it was a space for me to explore my imagination. It was a space for me to create a whole, an altered universe. And I've always had a severely vivid imagination. And I that definitely attributed to my creativity, my ability to find joy in the slightest moment or joy from within myself. I didn't at the time, of course, know that it is also an amazing tool for us to create the life that we seek to create. This creation of this life that we seek to create, when we start to understand that it is so very much directly connected to being inspired that Allah inspires all of the things that are good, that in this goodness, this is an opportunity that we collect letters meaning individual letters and alphabets to expand an idea. You know, we put these alphabets together to hold the vessel of the vision, right? So when we say certain, you know, we are in English, I'm born and raised with English, but then Islam brings this beautiful language of Arabic, Quranic Arabic, let's be very specific, this beauty of Quranic Arabic that is another vessel that holds an entire universe in one single word, right? So we use the English language because that is what we were birthed with, but then as we have evolved and have grown and have been given this gift of Al-Islam, we have this other language that can't be compared to anything else, and that is Quranic Arabic, right? And so when we look at, there's a meaning to each and every letter, and each letter, when placed and partnered with other letters, unlocks a whole other reality, a whole new way of being. And this is the gift that we have. And then we have been gifted with the resources of teachers who understood the power of these vessels of words, that it can shape an entire community. It can shape an entire universe. And so now we have this opportunity to use the keys that they set up for us within this period of time. And I can't help but to think about those that will come after me as a result of this foundation, and they will take it to even another level, right? So here we are right now, just to further just really get us to understand the beauty of this experience that we're having. Like, I'm talking to you right now from a computer. This is a means of communication, a means of staying connected, right? That there was a time when, and on top of that, there's no wires. Like, I plug it up to charge the battery, and there's no wires connecting it to a stable ground, right? It's not grounded and got to plug it in the wall in order to even use it. It is operating off of the energy waves within the room. There's an unseen connector that is allowing me to communicate with you at this very moment. Now, at the time, this invention that we're experiencing right now, it started from ages ago, right? Before we even thought that there was a possibility to see the individual that you're talking to, let's just go back to the landline. Let's just go back to the telephone and the rotary dial to the push button and so forth. It had to be connected to something in order for us to communicate with each other. It wasn't something that was a big deal. Then you look at movies from the 80s and so forth, there was this box connected to the car that had the wire in order for us to, the mobile phone. It was a huge ordeal. We just watched a movie, Mother's Day, and he had a mobile phone in his car that was connected to the dashboard, and he was, expressing how phenomenal this was that this rental car had a phone in it. And so it evolved over time. This evolution of us having access to expand our ability to communicate and connect with each other has expanded, because someone said, well, what if the person that I'm communicating with, I could see them when I'm talking to them? Well, what if I am able to send a letter through the computer and not have to mail it? Well, what if, like, all of these different moments of what if, it did not exist, but it had to evolve from an established experience in order to bring us to the next level of understanding it, right? This is what's happening to us in this human experience. So in my younger years, and all of us, I want us to go back, like, the biggest thing we could ever learn about ourselves is to revisit our youth, revisit our environment that nurtured us through childhood up into adulthood, that in that experience, there were moments that shaped very much a lot of how we move and how we think, the decisions we make and the decisions that we don't make. It allows us to explore another universe of our past self, right, to either undo certain things that we had taken in our mind as being real and true, to us moving to a space where it's like, well, the possibilities are still there for us to explore, right? And so here we are now with this language, and now we have the ability to write our life, right? So when he speaks of the goal and what is it that you want, what is it that you seek to experience, what is it that you have in your mind that's unseen, write it out. Write it out and be clear, right? Be specific. And it's not just write it down and then it's like, you know, leave it for the tooth fairy. No, it is now an energetic, it's like dialing a phone number that you have now identified what you are seeking to connect with in this external experience. So you have to pull it out of yourself, write it down, that's dialing the number, and now it is activating, okay, this is what has to happen in order to connect with the thing that you were holding internally to produce this external experience. And in doing so, there's an effort, there's an activation that takes place. And also keeping in mind that, let's not forget, it's not us doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm talking about the good stuff because I am going to stick to the idea and the fact that if you're here, you are seeking good, right? So if it is a suggestion for something that is good and something that will support your way of life as a Muslim, something that will support humanity, something that will grow you, expand your capacity to experience the best parts of this life, I'm talking to you, right? So we're not holding space for, you know, well, I want to do X, whatever that X is that is not good for you. That ain't what I'm talking about. You can write that down and do that too. But we're not, Allah didn't do that. You did that. Okay? So to be clear, that when that shows up, you have to feel this overwhelming bubbling of gratitude that is unmatched, because you know that the source of this good idea, great idea, beautiful gift, the inspired thing that said connect these things to create this experience comes from Allah. So we're having a conversation with Allah regularly, right? The moment the good idea has, and I don't, there's no such thing as a bigger, the too big or too small idea. All the ideas, if it is supporting you reaching your highest self, your highest goal, the most excellent experience, then that's from Allah. So this idea of gratitude, this idea of taking time every day, not just when you're feeling down, taking time every single day in the way that you make the lot, every single day, take a moment for gratitude. Every day, my neighbors are having a good time. It's a swimming pool right out front for me. So it's like they're having an experience of excitement, right? And I love it. I think it's great. It reminds me to tap into my joy every time I'm around. So I say that at that moment, you know, when you really look at, you know, I'm going to take a moment for gratitude. Sometimes we pull out the gratitude card when things are low. You're like, oh, okay, I must not be, let me put a little gratitude ointment on the screen, right? And that's good. And that's good. You should, if that's the thing that you go to. So I want to say that in addition to that, that it's like your multivitamin. The gratitude is like the multivitamin because you want to stay in constant remembering, constant remembering, being grateful for the good idea. Like the when Allah inspires you to get up a little earlier for Salah. Badger Hayes is like, Allah say, you know, get up a little early. I got something for you. Get up a little earlier and just read a little Quran before you pray or take some time to differ or journal the grateful things that are happening in your life or just take a moment and sit with yourself and take deep breaths and thank Allah for your lungs to be functioning. Thank Allah for this comfy bed, this cozy blanket. Thank Allah for the good coffee or who's bringing you your coffee. Or say, you know, like take a moment and sit in that and you will start to recognize how this, you know, he's speaking about in the video about Socrates dunking him in the water, that it feels comfortable when you choose to wade in the abundance or the flow of this environment, and that's what it feels like. It feels like a good bath. It feels like a nice swim in the lake, right? It feels like a ride on the cruise ship. It's like, ooh, like all of this for me? Like, really? Okay, like let me explore that. So in that moment, when you take it like the daily vitamin, when those challenges come, which they will all the time, that's what life is, right? That when they show up, it's like my gratitude immune system is strong enough to stave off the illness that comes with the challenge. So when it shows up, because I have been taking my everyday multi-gratitude vitamin daily, that when the challenge shows up and it's like, I have no idea how I'm going to get through this. Like, is this one, it's a tough one. I don't know what to do with this. You recognize that you have constantly been fortifying your soul, your life, your mind, your journal, your Quranic references to so that when it shows up, it's like, yeah, I don't like it, but let's check this out. Allah created me in excellence. Okay, so it's not that I can't do it. Shaitan threatens you with lack. It's not that I don't have enough to do it. That is with the acid and tackling, with every difficulty comes ease, like that they're hand in hand. Okay, all right, God. Okay, so you're not giving me a burden bigger than I can handle. Okay, so it feels like I can't handle this. It feels like I don't have the capacity to do what's done, but I know you don't lie. There's nothing present in any part of my life that says Allah is not telling the truth, that this in this book, without doubt, is true without doubt, right? So what I look like having doubt, like this ideal of self-doubt about my ability when Allah created me. So the doubt is not coming from Allah. The environment may feed me a narrative about myself that is not true. But we know what is true. Allah is truth. Allah is taught. All truth, like, period, right? So I have to fortify myself. I don't have to just pull it. It's like my mom is the herbal guru, and I mean, I'm sticking to this metaphor. I am a child product of metaphors from my beloved daddy. Metaphors, I have fun with them. It makes me that much aware of this living experience. Like the moment I said, what's that like? It's like, and the Quran shares these explorative experiences, like it's like this, and I go, oh, talking my language, right? So my mom with the herbs, when we get sick, you know, she got them. She know what to do. She know what, okay, you got to take this and grind this and juice that, eat less of this and more of that. Like she has it, right? But the one thing that she says every single time, without doubt, it's not going to happen the first day you take it. You give me the herbs. I'm thinking, okay, well, I drink this ginger juice. Come tomorrow, we will, and I can jump back out there. She's going, every time, but it's not, it doesn't work that way. It has to get into your system. It has to get into your system. What is our system? Our way of being, our existence. Ooh, I know this is just stuff because I'm feeling it, right? It's just going to stop. It's just stuff, right? So and Allah is the Lord of all systems, right, of knowledge. So to understand yourself and how you absorb what you're taking in, it's beautiful. So this unfolding of paying attention to our existence, the conversation happens at the moment that you open your eyes. Explore, what are you feeling right now? What do you need in order to engage this one? Let's focus on what we already have access to, because whatever it is that you're pulling up that you have access to, in that is the answer to a good day. If the goal is a good day, let's reverse engineer. What do you need to have a good day? And in that, you create this system of gratitude that runs every time, because it's not going to hit just when it's hurting, right? You're going to have to put it in your system. And then you putting that in your system, then the output, when the challenge comes up, you'll know exactly what to do. So may Allah bless us to be inspired to recognize, cleanse our physical eyes and our spiritual eyes, to recognize the things that we should be grateful for so that we can see, have a wider vision about this life experience that we have been blessed with, that we have been gifted with. And then as a result, that the obstacles that show up in our lives, it's like, oh, this is a part of this experience, and I have a system in place to be able to conquer those challenges, those brief obstacles, not so that they would linger, not so I just put something immediate on it and then stop it. No, I have a system in place in order to counter that, in order to combat it, in order to stay in a constant state of wellness. And with that, I'm going to call you in back into the room.
And we're back. Alhamdulillah.
And we're back.
I mean, I'm good. All right, so you know what happened? I'll tell you exactly why I was delayed. You started talking about something that I was thinking about talking about as a part of my sort of like at the ending. I was trying to rush and put the final little touches on it, but it didn't really come all the way through. So I didn't want to, as my mama, may Allah have mercy on her, would say, don't half-ass it. So don't half-ass it. So I got left. I got to let that go. But I tell you, I'm threatening to do a, my whole presentation would just be simply camelbacking on your presentation. But when you start talking about those systems, there's everything. I got to move on or I'll try to do it. So I'm not going to try to do it. Thank you very much. And
you're welcome,
we out. All right. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, so beautiful, so wonderful. We thank Allah. We have this dua, Rabbana, from the Quran. Rabbana, hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata ayn waj'alna lil muttaqin imama. Oh Allah, give us mates and offspring that will be beautiful in our eyes. And give us the grace to be examples for righteous people. Alhamdulillah, when I see that one and hear that one, I'm reminded that Allah has answered that dua for me. Alhamdulillah. Now if I could just get her to mute her phone, would be good. So let's go. I'm hoping, inshallah, I would love to complete this subject today. And the subject being Introduction to Spiritual Physics. We've focused on imagination. We are a little bit beyond imagination now, but we're just simply continuing under the theme and in the interest of this, which is spirituality. Spirituality is the physics that we don't yet understand. And so what we're still continuing under that theme, and the goal is of course to for me, the way I talk about it, drawing a straight line, short distance between two points is a straight line, drawing a straight line from the idea of, what we imagine and what we are able to create. I have to say, I know some of the language that I might use and some of the things that we speak of. You say, yeah, it's the same way you talk. Even like Brian Tracy, I studied stuff from him way back. I think Psychology of Success was one of the early ones, because I've always been actually devoted to self-image psychology, personal achievement. I was, mashallah, I can almost say from the eighth grade, that I was starting with like Maxwell Maltz and psycho-cybernetics. So I've been kind of steeped in that tradition almost all my life. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Allah's will, to each is the goal to which he is turning. So, but I'm saying that to say that I am very familiar with it. I'm very familiar with the other, systems that are out there, law of attraction, the secret, manifestation. I get it. I understand. There's a reason why we're attracted to it, why we want the issue of energies and da da da. And so not being dismissive of it at all, because all of those represent, in some cases, a partial completion. The only thing that has to complete is the Quran. Let's be real clear about the Quran and what Muhammad has given us. But the abstraction of those ideas from what we have received vis-a-vis al-Islam, I say in our time, I'll call it, is not complete. So there's still much truth that is being drawn from other, let's call it spiritual systems and the like, and they strike us so formidably because they have this ring of truth to our psyche, our soul, our heart, our mind, our nature. But let me put it in words of the hood: don't get lost in the sauce. Don't get lost in the sauce. Okay, so what's true and what's good, et cetera. Another thing, there's a saying. It's not an Islamic saying, but I give it a lot of credence. Whatever is true is not new, and whatever is new is not true. So if anybody tells you something that ain't never been thought of before, I'll take a second look at it. So enough of that. So moving on, this is the thesis under which we are moving right here. Spirituality is the physics we don't yet understand. Alhamdulillah, Allah, as recently as the last like 36, 48 hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I say this in all humility, his nobles, led me to another mind, not my mind, another mind person that is addressing something. He's like, oh yeah, this is the answer that I need for this element over here. And so by the grace of Allah, alhamdulillah, someone again with part of the answer, with the expression of part of the answer. It's like we have it, but sometimes we don't have the expression for it, that vessel, those words, the vocabulary for the concept, the principle, the idea. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send us or bring out from us the language, the carriage, the vehicle for the idea that you intuitively and that you have a feel for, but it's as Iqbal, Muhammad Iqbal said, inarticulate feeling, but you don't have the word, inarticulate feeling. So sometimes the feeling itself will give birth to the word to express what it is that you feel. And sometimes you will hear out there in the environment from somewhere a word or words that that is expressing what I'm feeling, right? So alhamdulillah. So that's a constant occurrence for the seeker, for the asker, for the student, for those who inquire, right, in the name of Allah. So let's just move on with what we have here today. So last week we went through this. This comes from Bernardo Kestra of the Essentia Foundation. I recommend him to you if you're ready for abstraction, right? Watch out for the fish bones, but it is not mainstream, whatever, popcorn talk. So moving on. So we went through, I'm not going to go all the way through it. Let me just see if I can get away with just speaking to the red letters there, right? Because what this is talking about is how things, from the foundation of the nature of creation, how they come into reality, right? And I know that I just use the term popcorn. You know, the other language that is not knitted more scientifically and logically, et cetera, moving from that bottom to the top, I'm less trusting of it. And certainly it has to rest well. It has to harmonize well with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has either expressed or implied in the Quran. So trust this. I wouldn't even mention the name Bernardo Kestra to you if I didn't already have the sense. It doesn't mean that when you get to it, that, I see what the imam is saying. You may not say, hey, you might say, what the hell was he thinking about when he's talking about? Well, if you're that far away from him, then you should know right away he should turn around. So you get to it and you say, I can't mess with that. Well, just go ahead and make that U-turn and check out. It's okay. Because you've been warned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Approach not that about which you have no knowledge. That's the Quran telling you. If you have no knowledge, relative, you ain't got no business messing with it, right? Also, when the wise man spoke to Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, how can you have patience with that about which your understanding is not yet complete? So if you have no knowledge, if you have no understanding of the domain, then back out of it, hang out with me, ask me some questions. You know, you can email me, sabilillah@aol.com, for clarification. I will, inshallah, reply to you. But I got to move on based on time we have today. So I'm gonna jump on these red letters. If you weren't with us last week, then I say go find the archive. Whatever medium you're reaching us on right now, then in that medium you'll also be able to find the archive for all of this. But let's go. So the expectations and beliefs, right? That's the key. What are your expectations? What are your beliefs, right? What happens is, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, it gets filtered. It gets filtered. And what's filtered, that is, you're starting with these possibilities, and what filters it, how far what you aspire to rises, it moves up to and through the levels according to your expectations and beliefs. Wherever you run out of expectation and belief for as far as that is concerned, then the creative flow of what it is you're trying to bring into existence, it stops right there because you have not provided the opening for which that thing to move from abstract to concrete. And the way that things move from abstract to concrete, action is definitely involved. There's no magic in the context of this. There is action that's involved, but those actions are coinciding with your level of expectation and belief. If you don't have the expectation and belief, then you won't have the behavior consistent with what you need to do to keep it pushing. I gotta go with that kind of language so you can stay with me. So the possibility, so the fuel, the source of the fuel for our creativity, that is something coming into existence as an original product of ours, the fuel for it is our expectations and belief. We run out of expectation and belief, we run out of fuel, and the process stops, right? So because what happens is, everything that we expect and believe and act in accordance with what is true for its law, we'll say more about that as we go, what is true for its law, then it congeals into a particular reality. And that has everything to do with the issue of quantum. We didn't go all the way into it, but as he's pointing out, the process of your quantum physics calls it wave function collapse, right? Just look it up and get some sense of it. But the point is, all existence first only exists as possibility. That's all, possibility and potential. Everything, the universe in its totality, all these phenomena that we see, feel, taste, touch, smell, measure, quantify, etc., they are all manifestations of something that is fundamentally wave and particle at the base. But it has congealed into whatever it is that we're experiencing because something happened. I'll have to abbreviate it that way. Something happened to make that automobile come into existence, that chair, that light, that microphone, whatever. It came into by someone filtering their expectation and belief and their scientific understanding of what it takes to bring this thing about. They stayed with it. They planned. They acted. They planned. They acted. They planned. They acted until it congealed into the particular reality that we see. Why? Because they had a belief system that ran from the possibility in their expectation and belief for them to continue to act until the thing was actually in their hands. That's how it works. That's how it works. So he concludes, the reality you experience is a function of your deeply ingrained belief system, right? What is it that you deeply think, that you have no doubt about? Whatever, you're talking about doing something, achieving something, accomplishing something, creating something, how much doubt do you have about it, right? If you have no doubt about it, just keep it going. It's coming. It's on the way. And keep acting in accordance with a plan that's intended to make it come. You keep doing what you're doing, and it's just a matter of time, because we live in space-time. It's a matter of time before you will have it, right? It will only stop when you stop expecting it and when you stop believing it at that next level, whatever it might be. Because every time you come to a door, then you have to turn a knob, open the door. You have to know the combination, whatever it is you need to know in order to get through that door. It will come by virtue of your expectations and beliefs that are deeply held at that level about that thing. If you don't have that level of expectation and belief at that level about that thing, you're not going any further. That's it. And the thing that removes doubt is knowledge. Of course, Allah is in it all. But knowledge is what removes doubt. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told us this, when he said, thus did we show Abraham the powers and the laws of the heavens and the earth, that he might have yaqeen, that he might have conviction and certitude. So what gives one conviction and certitude? Knowledge of the powers and the laws of the heavens and the earth. The more of the knowledge of the laws of the powers of the heavens and the earth you have, the more conviction you have, the more expectations, the more beliefs. Because you are believing and acting and expecting on the basis of the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and it is true. It's true. So whatever you're devising or designing or expecting or believing, you got to make sure that that's true to the nature of creation and that you're not, you know, operating on some kind of illusion. All right? All right, so that's as much we're going to say about that, because we spent last week covering that whole thing. But let's go to something further. Now, here's an image that applies to everything that I'm saying. This applies to everything. I don't care. Doctor, lawyer, engine chief, engineer, dentist, entrepreneur, doesn't matter. Athlete, doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's everything, right? Let's walk through some of the mapping here, right? In the upper left, it says the game, the hierarchy, the aim. Everything. You think of anything right now. It doesn't matter. Helmets. I'm just grabbing something. Helmets. Right? Helmets. Okay. A helmet is a thing, right? And that helmet, that wasn't the only helmet that was ever made or that ever existed. That helmet came from some manufacturer. Okay, so that manufacturer is in the helmet game. The manufacturer is in the helmet game. You understand? So each one of these just represent different ways of saying the same thing. So whatever it is that you're involved with, I mean, if you're talking about stocks, you're in the whatever, the stock game, the equities game, doesn't matter. You're in insurance, same thing. You're in manufacturing, same thing. You're in sales, and it's the game. That's your game. That's your game. So that should be enough. It's like whatever. And so in every game, there is a hierarchy and there is an aim, right? So you can call the hierarchy the game. You can call the aim the game. Whatever the aim is, that's the game. The name of the game is the aim. The name of the game is the aim, right? Whatever. Basketball. You know, basketball. The name of the game is, quote unquote, in the world, basketball. But what's the aim of the game? What's the aim of the game? The aim of the game, that is the game. Whatever the aim of the game, that's the game, period. So you can say, oh, we're playing basketball. Okay, I'm an alien. I don't know. What do you mean? Right? Well, then you have to be able to tell the one who has no context for it that, okay, well, the aim is to X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X. All right, so you got that. So hierarchy gave you. So I'm saying anything can go in this box. It just doesn't matter. Bamboo chairs. Okay, that should be enough. Whatever comes to your mind, you should see it in the context of a total system of things that is devoted to that. All right. Now, in every game, there's an apex performer, there's a model, there's an archetype, right? So whatever, you know, the whatever. I'm going to stay with basketball. Whatever. So you have people who make basketballs. You have people who make basketballs, right? So yeah, go look. Oh, okay. We watched the Air. We watched Air, the Michael Jordan quasi biopic, at least one part of it. So it's like, so you had Converse, and you had I forget who the other Adidas, right? Converse, Adidas, and I don't even think Reebok was in the game as of that time. And Nike. Nike was on the third level. Third tier with only 17% of the market at that time. The big dog was Converse, and the next after that was Adidas. And Adidas was put on the map because of Run DMC and the rest of those kind of folks. So the point is that the apex performer in the tennis shoe game was Converse as of that time. And the issue of it was Converse and the peak of the game, of the tennis shoe game, was running shoes. Running shoes, right? All right. So that was the game, you know, and apex performer was Converse, right? So then the model that you're trying to get with is Converse and Adidas and blah, blah, blah. So the archetype for it was Converse. Blah, blah, blah. So in every game, taking game the way I just said it, it's like you need to know who's at the top of that game. Are you, what game are you in? And that's the thing you need to know. What game are you in? Well, I'll say playing, but it ain't no joke. It's serious. Are you what? Okay, and who's on the top of that? Who's the apex performer in that? You know. So that's it. So this is what you need to know. You need to know what your game is, and you don't know your game until you know what the aim of your game is. Once you know what that is, now you can go looking for, and who's the apex performer? What is the ultimate model for the aim of the game that I'm in? Who and what is the archetype? And I'm saying this to say, it can be absolutely anything. You can be a sewing machine maker, whatever. Okay, let's move on. All right, so now this little pyramidal structure here is the ladder, let's call it, that you have to climb in order to be on top of the game, in order to realize the aim of the game. You have to move from the lower echelons to the upper echelons, right? And this has to do with your state of mind and heart, and particularly your expectations and beliefs, right? Whenever you start whatever it is that you start at the bottom. You don't start at the top. It just doesn't matter. And everybody that's on the top did not start there. They moved from the bottom to the top. And anybody in the future who moves to the top, they will move to the top from wherever they are, and it all begins at the bottom. Okay, so whatever game you're in, you need to understand, well, where am I in this stratification? Where am I in this progression? Okay, so expectations and beliefs apply on all levels, because remember, the concretization, the realization, the actualization, and I'm going to put big air quotes, the manifestation of what it is that you're trying to do, it's going to filter up according to the level of belief you sustain as you move up. Because if as you move up, you will move up because you acquired and you maintained the expectations and beliefs appropriate for your movement from A to B. And if you're going to move from B to C, you're going to have to sustain the expectations and beliefs and achieve the competencies that need to be achieved at level B, and that will move you filtering based on those beliefs and competencies up to level C, right? And at level C, you have to maintain the expectations and beliefs necessary and acquire the competencies appropriate to level D. If you don't do that, then you're going to stop wherever you are. In fact, I think that there is a book actually called that. I think it's the Peter Principle. Yeah, I think it's the Peter Principle. This is decades ago. The Peter Principle, and basically the Peter Principle is everyone rises to the level of their own incompetence. Everyone rises to the level of their own incompetence. You're going to keep, I mean, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but there's just too many examples right in front of us right now. You heard me talking a lot about basketball. Okay, the Warriors out. So, okay. Warriors out. Because the Warriors didn't have the competency to be able to move to the next level. In terms of whatever the reason may be, that's fine. And they rose to the level. So they were a second round. They were a second round NBA team, a postseason second round NBA team this year. Maybe they were that all year. But the point is, the bus stops here. And so you had to get off the bus. That's that. Okay. Now look at Boston and look at L.A. And again, if you look at Denver and look at Miami, right? It's like this scale applies to what I'm talking about, because everybody is getting off at the level that their competency and their confidence fails. When their expectation, their beliefs, and their competencies do not match what's required to go to the next level, the bus stops here. This is your stop. Okay? Masha'Allah. That's how it goes, right? And so whoever's able to fill out all of these movements in their game, they're going to succeed, right? So everybody starts at the level of unconscious incompetence. Everybody. Everybody starts at the level where they don't know and they don't know what they don't know. Some don't know that they don't, that they don't know, but some don't know what they don't know. But then you get when you succeed in finding out what it is that you don't know and learn a little more about what it is that you don't know, and then you become competent in that you used to be ignorant of, and you maintain the expectations and beliefs, now you're on the next level. The next level is that your conscious incompetent. What does that mean? It means that, yes, I know a lot, or rather, pardon me, I know more than I knew at level one, but I have to practice more of whatever it is at this next level, and whatever it is that got me off that first level, I have to practice, and I have to sustain my belief and my expectation that I can achieve and accomplish this at this second level But I do recognize that I will continue to make mistakes as I practice because I have not perfected what it is that I just learned about that I didn't know that I didn't know before. So I am deemed to be a conscious incompetent. It's like, no, I haven't mastered it. I don't fully have it down. I'm still practicing it, but I'm aware when I make a mistake. When I, oh, man, you didn't do that right. Okay, try it again. Oh, you got it right that time. Oh, yeah, good. Now, when you get to a point where you are making fewer and fewer mistakes and you feel this expectation and belief at the level where you can move up to the next level, the movement to the next level will be where you have your habits and your practices have brought you to a point where you rarely miss, you rarely fail, you rarely, whatever, you rarely fail in that particular situation at that particular level. Okay, you move up to the level of conscious competent. Conscious competent is someone who knows, and they've got the habits down to the point where as long as they're paying attention, they got it straight. So they are conscious competent. Right? So the conscious incompetent is one who's aware of what they now are not doing properly that they just learned that they didn't know before. Okay, so let me keep practicing. Now I know when I'm making a mistake, so I'm a conscious incompetent. Okay, yeah, I know, my bad, right? But now once you get off that level and you're ready to go to the next level, so you are now a conscious competent. That is, you have the competencies, you have the habits, you have, I mean, so many of these I'm staying with the NBA because it's out there for so many of us. People thought, I'm just commenting. It's just commenting. Listen, I'm not this person. I got people I can cue you into that they know. But I know enough by listening and my inarticulate feeling about it to be able to say as much as I'm saying. Jonathan Kuminga, right? Jonathan Kuminga, who is a player, 20-year-old player, Warriors. You know, he has some hot spots and some hot shots, and he's got that kind of Ja Morant-ish kind of competency. That's another example to walk through this process. But Jonathan Kuminga, Warriors. I heard one commentator talking about. He said he's got so much. An ex-warrior leader was doing this commentary. He has so much skill, so much ability, so much athleticism, so much blah, 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 but he just needs to learn more about this part right here. And he would be really, really effective. And the sky is the limit of his potential, but he's just got to get this part, right? And there's so many throughout the whole game that are like that. But the point is that you have to get to the level of conscious competence, right? So conscious competence, or when you're on the level of conscious competence, like, yeah, you have the skills and the ability, but you cannot do it unless you are paying attention. Any moment of inattention, then you're going to make errors. You're going to have more failing. You're not at that next level. You're not at that next level because you cannot do it unconsciously. You have to do it consciously. As long as you have to do it consciously, you still haven't mastered whatever it is that you're trying to move into or move up through. But let's assume a person gets to that level where you have the conscious competence. Conscious competence means that, you can do it, but you can only do it when you're paying very strict attention. But let's move past that. So when a person finally gets to the point where they don't have to be conscious of it all the time. Now they're at the highest level. They're at the peak level of whatever the game is, unconscious competent, unconscious competent. Bruce Lee, I always use him as an example for this. Someone who just automatically has the response, the reaction time, knowing the right thing to do under all circumstances, and you have these forces working at a very subconscious level, unconscious level, but therefore at the deepest level that is utilizing the competency that you've developed. So it's just automatic, natural, instantaneous, et cetera, et cetera. So that's when you're at the highest level. So that's with everything. Everything we're talking about, it doesn't matter. It can be politics, it can be academics, it can be business, it can be cultural art, creativity, et cetera, all those kinds of things, right? And so once you know what the performance and what the rules are of the game and what is required in order to achieve the aims of the game, and one of the highest ways and best ways to do that is know who the apex performer in your game is. Who is the apex performer? Then you should model yourself after them, right? Because they have demonstrated what it takes to get from the bottom to the top. And the more you master and perform in conformance with what the game requires, then that's how you're going to get to the top of it. That's how you're going to get to the top of it. You know, I think about this Dionne Warwick song, you know, wishing and hoping and praying. That's not the thing. You have to know what you have to do, and you have to master and conform to what's expected of the game, what the game expects of you, and then you're going to have greater success. Okay, so that's it. Now, as you can see here, it's like this applies to any and everything. This applies. I just put any other here. It just doesn't matter. It just, you can put a label in each one of these boxes. It can be father or mother, you know, businessman, entrepreneur, leader of an organization, whatever, cook, mathematician, engineer, dentist, lawyer, just doesn't matter because you're going to have to do the same thing no matter what it is. And once you understand that that's what you have to do no matter what it is that you're doing, the only thing for you to do is do it. Only that there's nothing that, you know, Allah's will is over everything. But in the scheme of things, Allah doesn't have anything against you. I don't think anybody who's on earth is sitting here talking. I don't think nobody is big enough for Allah to be, I'm mad at you. No, none of you take this out even to be on this program. It's like, Allah ain't mad at you. Okay? So therefore, and the universe ain't mad at you. It's all yours. So it's like, what do you want? What do you want? And what are you doing to get it? Okay? Let's move on. All right, so this should be even more simplified since I've already used the NBA as a model. You know, in the postseason, right? In the postseason, you have these four rounds to get to, right? First round is four games, and therein you have to achieve those four stages of competency at that level. You have to solve the problem of whoever your opponent is at the first level. That's what you do. The people who move on to the second round are the people who solve the problems of the first round. And your problem is whoever you're faced with. And so you have to move from unconscious, incompetent, conscious, competent, unconscious, competent, so that you can be on the top of whatever that level is, right? And then you have to do the same thing in the semifinals, right? And I'm telling you, and the rest of it is pretty clear. It's just repetition. It's like, my kufi is off to whoever is the champion. Whoever is the champion, they deserve it. They deserve it because they solved all the problems of every opponent in every series on every level. They deserve it, right? Anybody else, you know, you can get mad, you can get pissed off, you can, I don't like that. Hey, go on home. Go on somewhere. Because if whoever stands on the mountaintop of that and raises that trophy, they earned it. They earned it from elementary school. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's like. Okay, so enough of that. But that applies to everything. So you, yourself, where's your mountaintop? Where's your mountaintop? What mountain are you trying to stand on top of? Because the plan, the pattern, the blueprint, the rules, the principles, the paradigm, the algorithm, I just laid it out to you. It's like, go for it. Very important. So this note that came from the reading that we open this evening with. A kind of wave of possibility percolates upward through our cognitive structure, getting filtered according to the expectations and beliefs in higher levels. So if your beliefs and expectations are not such that it opens the way to move to the next level, then that's where you stop. That's where you get off the bus. All right. Run very quickly through this. In the Quran, 53:37 through 40, and Allah speaks of Abraham. I'll just read an expression of it. It says, and of Abraham who fulfilled his obligations, namely that no bearer of burden can bear the burden of another, that man can have nothing but what he strives for, that the fruit of his striving will soon come into sight. Okay, let's abstract from that. We've done this, but abstracted from each one of these verses is, again, the mindset and the behavior that's required to, again, achieve a goal, achieve an aim, to realize something that you may imagine or aspire to. Number one, this verse 53:37 in meaning is telling us be a person of faith, science, and integrity. Be a person of faith, science, and integrity. Verse 38, in abstract, in essence, is telling us accept personal responsibility. It's not somebody else's fault. That old white man, Trump, them old Republicans, these folks down here in Georgia, whatever, it's like, hey, accept personal responsibility. The universe don't belong to nobody on earth. The laws of creation belongs to nobody on earth. All those are the levers of power for us in the nature of creation. Nobody can stop us. Okay? Verse 39, abstracted. Set your goal. Set your goal plan. Do you have one? Because the plan, and we covered this, whatever, many weeks ago, the plan is a mechanism just as surely as any machine. Please understand that. See, spirituality is the physics that we don't yet understand. Okay? And one of the things about spirituality from a metaphysical point of view, so material physics, quantum physics, talking about material things, spiritual physics is talking about, quote unquote, immaterial things in the way that we understand material. So a plan is a mechanism. When you write a plan, you have built a machine. In creative language, in the language of creation, you just built a vehicle. It's a plan. And that vehicle affects things in creation and in yourself, and yourself as a part of creation. So set your goal, your plan, visualize in order to virtualize your goal. So that goes back to the imagination. And that has to do with expectation. But I want you to also understand this. Listen, you already know this. Right. I had a thought about lemon meringue pie the other day, and my jaws start getting tight, like I was getting that lemon zest in my. It's happening right now. Getting that lemon zest in my mouth. What made that chemical reaction happen in my body? The visualization. The thought of it. The thought of it brought about changes in my biology. Well, that's what happens with belief and expectations and imagination. Your bodily mechanisms, he wants a lemon meringue pie. He's thinking about lemon meringue pie. Okay, let's get ready. Right? Okay, well, that's what happens in our body. That's what happens in the creation. It's sort of like, what do you want? What are you aspiring to? Creation is just, it's almost like it all came, creation is kind of like twiddling its thumbs. I guess you don't want to do nothing. So let's just hang out. No. Set your goal, plan, visualize in order to virtualize. But as soon as you begin to think of it, you begin to visualize it, and especially when you plan it, it is actually coming into virtual existence. And then verse 40 tells us what happens next. Behave in alignment with you. So there, nothing happened without behavior. Quran says, do they think that they were going to be rewarded for other than their deeds? This is God saying. What do you think? You think all. You think all you have to do is just think about something. All you have to do is just imagine it hard enough, long enough, and then it's just going to show up at your door. Get off of that. Get off of that. It'll distract you until you die. Get off of that. Make a plan. Evaluate the plan. If you make the plan based on the powers and the laws of the heavens and the earth, right? So therefore, the plan is true. So the plan is not a quote-unquote pipe dream. The plan is real on the basis of the context of the rules and the laws of the heavens and the earth. It's like, boom, you want to do this, you want to do that. And a trustworthy plan is that mechanism, is that machinery, is that vehicle through which physically and metaphysically what you are aspiring to and imagining, that's it's going to arrive by virtue of the action, quote-unquote, and interaction between yourself and the plan. All right? And when you behave, then the fruit of his strive will soon be seen. It means you have to behave in alignment with your goal or plan, right? We've already gone through this. The wave of possibilities is the source of the fuel of universal creativity and originality. Without it, the cognitive activity in higher levels will grind to a halt, and there would be no novelty feeding it from below. So if you don't believe at the next level and at the next level and at the next level, then it's never going to be realized because you're going to stop at the level that you stop expecting and stop believing. This ain't going to work. Okay. Everything just stopped. There are some things that you have to do in relationship to obstacles, to the worldly plans, activities, et cetera. There's always going to be something. Life happens. Other things happen. And you have to make adjustments. I don't know if we're going to get to some detail on that. I don't know. We'll see how far my comments go here. Oh, okay. Here's another thing. Here's another creation-supported social logic, scripture-supported social logic. The social logic for what I've been talking about, I want to show it to you also in fundamentals that we embrace as Muslims, all right? So you see there on the left, you have the star, moon, sun. Of course, you should recognize in that Abraham. Alayhi salatu wasalam, his vision, star, moon, sun. That star, moon, and sun is a symbol of what God taught Abraham of the powers and the laws in the heavens and earth that he might have certitude. So he had the expectations and beliefs rooted in his very being by virtue of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him. He was supremely confident. Yaqeen, he had conviction, totally. And that's a sign of where we have to be in terms of whatever it is that we're trying to realize. I mean, do you really believe in yourself in that matter? If you don't really believe in yourself in that matter, that's why it's not moving. It's not going to happen. But if you really believe in yourself in that matter, it's already happening. But how can you be certain, and what is the justification for you believing in yourself in that matter? What do you know about what it is you're trying to do? All right? So you need to get the star knowledge, the moon knowledge, the sun knowledge of whatever it is that you're doing, whatever. I'm not going to try to go into all the interpretations of all this, but at best, simply, I will put it this way. Star is the intuitive, instinctive knowledge. Do you have the nature? Do you have the predisposition for what it is you're talking about? Right? If you don't really have the predisposition, you haven't even gotten the star knowledge of what you're talking about. But if you do have the predisposition, the impulse, the instinct for it, right? Do you have political instincts if you're thinking about politics? Do you have business instincts if you're talking about business? You're not academic instincts, you're talking about academic achievement, blah, blah, blah. you have to have the instincts for it. If you don't have it and nobody has told you unsolicited, man, you got some strong political instincts or you got some strong economic instincts or you got some strong academic instincts. If nobody's ever told you that in your life, then you probably don't have them. I'm just saying. So, and it's the same way for business. Oh, man, you got a nose for business. Maybe somebody told you that sometime, right? Just, okay, let's go with the rest of that. We've got to move on. So, but then you move on to the moon, right? So what's the moon? Moon is basically like the philosophy of what it is that you have an instinct for. You found it. You had an instinct for it. Okay, now, so what's the philosophy about it? Everything, listen, everything has a business has a philosophy. You know, politics, governance has a philosophy, huh? Academics has a philosophy. Culture has a philosophy, right? And all the dimensions of it have a where. What game are you playing? Remember, aim, game, hierarchy, all that. This is knowledge that you have to have, and then you have to move up the star, moon, sun ladder in order to achieve and arrive at the level of knowledge to have the expectation and beliefs that fit the game you're playing and where you're trying to go, right? So you have the impulse, instincts, then you have the philosophy / ideology for it, and then moving up to the sun is the science of it. What is the objective science for whatever it is you're trying to do? Just the, I don't care. Whatever, I don't know. You want to make vacuum cleaners. I'm just saying anything. Okay. What's the science of vacuum cleaners? Do you know that? All right? Okay. And all of this, of course, fits with the schema that we see in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first squeeze, second squeeze, third squeeze. So the Prophet, squeeze number one moved him from level one to level two. Squeeze number two moved him from level two to level three. Squeeze number three moved him from level three to level four. And so it is, that's how we get to the top. We get to the apex of what it is, whatever it is, by traversing all of these capacities. And when you think about these squeezes, right? Squeeze means you have to face the challenges on each level. Squeeze number one is usri yusr. Squeeze number two, usri yusr. Squeeze number three, usri yusr. Difficulty, relief. Success is a set of problems solved, according to I Am Pei, first person singular. You should look that documentary up. It's a good one. But it says success is a set of problems solved. We talk about these NBA games, right? So it's like these coaches, the difference is you got a 7-game possible series, right? Game number one is most people say that it's a feeler. I'm feeling them out, right? And then now you go to the film and then you go to the recap of the game, et cetera, and you make adjustments. You make the adjustments respecting the nature, because if this guy has been a problem for us in game number one, then we need to make some adjustments that solves that problem in game number two. If they give us a new problem in game number two that we don't solve, then we're going to lose game number two, and the rest goes on, right? So who's most successful? The ones who's most successful are the ones who solve the problem of their opposition, and that's how it is with us. If you're a chef, you have a certain set of problems for chefs. If you are an academic, you have a certain set of problems as an academic, blah, blah, blah. The point is you have to be able to solve the problems on the level that you want to move off of, all right? And that's why we go back to the unconscious, incompetent, conscious, competent, conscious incompetent, conscious, competent, unconscious, competent. Once you know all of the problems related to the progression that you're trying to make, and I didn't put the model right here, but I want to go back and remind you, you have to find who's the apex performer in the area that you're trying to rise in. Who's the object? Who's the model? Right? So people talk about mentorship. You talk about models, examples, et cetera. And we have so much access to every and practically anything available that you don't have to live with a person or go knock on their door or call them, get them to talk to you. They're online. They're everywhere, you know. And you can make it real for yourself. All right. So, mustaqbal. Well, now we're talking about here at this point. Mustaqbal is talking about the future.
So now what we're talking about is making history. Right at this moment, we're talking about making history. You want to make history? Okay, let me tell you how to make history. Mustaqbal is a noun which means the future. Mim damasin sukun ta feta ba feta lam. Right? Mustaqbal. Akbala is the fourth form of the verbal root qabala. This gives us the noun form mustaqbal, which means the future. It means, this is a definition, to give one's attention to something, to dedicate oneself, to apply oneself, to engage in, to take an interest in, to embark upon. Form four also engenders indirect cause. You're going to cause something that's going to cause something else, right? And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran says that he hovers between a man and his heart. So this Qabala is also an anagram for Qalb, Qaf Lam Ba. But the main thing is simply to understand that the ultimate decision for what is arrived at, what is achieved, what is accomplished, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never forget that. You can plan, you can have a perfect plan, just like Jacob and the plans for his sons. They don't all end by one gate. He did what he was told to do, but Allah had another plan. So always follow what you know, but always recognize it's all insha'Allah, right? So what this Qabala tells us is that any human being who wants a good future must give their attention to it. They must dedicate themselves to it. They must apply themselves. They must engage themselves. They must take an interest in what they aspire to. They must embark upon it in the present time with a vision of their future life in mind. Some of you already know that we're talking about what Imam said. This is that was the literal definition and translation for behavior of the definition of the future. If you want to create the future, if you want to manifest and bring something about in the future, well, then these are the things that you have to do just by the definition of the Quranic term for future. You have to dedicate yourself to, you have to apply yourself, you have to engage yourself, you have to increase and enhance and follow your interest in it, and you have to embark upon it in present time in the interest of your vision for the future. Here are two levels of making history. He said, today we made history. In that sense, it means that we will have accomplished something up to that moment that hadn't been accomplished. We made history. First black president, blah, blah, right? Made history. Hadn't been done before. I know there's some teachers, well, we've had about five other black presidents with that one drop of blood thing, but we're not going to go into that today. Okay. So made history in as much as we will have accomplished what? Upon that moment hadn't been accomplished. That's making history. But now we're talking about making history consciously, through our own capacity, through our own capability. We will make history in as much as we will have successfully executed our plans. When you put your plans to work, your good plans to work, right, that plan represents your virtual intended future. That's what's on the paper. Your virtual intended future, that mechanism called a plan, there's your future right there. That's the seed right there, right? And you accomplish that, it will be like following the recipe to make a cake. And when you achieve what the plan holds out for you, then you will also have made history. Imam Muhammad, he says, this is the future that we are building. Allah says, look to the future. Don't value this present life over the future. But look to the future. Let your aim, your object be toward the future. That's the orientation in the Muslim life. That is the Muslim lives with hope for accomplishing the goals that is in front of him. We are always supposed to be going towards something as a goal, as an object to achieve in front of us. That's our sensitivity. That should be our concern. That's the way we live. We don't live just in the present. There are three tenses, aren't there? In fact, there are four. There's the past tense, the present tense, the future tense, and this one that you didn't know about, controlled tense. Well, we want to move in every tense. We want present, we want past, future, and control tense. So control tense is when you design a life for yourself, back to that plan, design a life for yourself with an objective in mind, and you marshal everything to complement that and to support that. Man, you're on your own time then. You are not in the past. You are not in the present. When you perceive that way, you are really in the future. But you have stepped ahead of the ordinary concept of future time. You have stepped into controlled time. Alhamdulillah. Imam Muhammad at Elijahville. So, brothers and sisters, not going into this further, but this essentially is going to be the end of it. It is simple. It is so. It's in the doing, right? It is simple. I think I have this one other plate that I can't. No, it's not. It's not there and available. So let me duck out before I get wrapped into something I don't want to get wrapped into right now. So this is going to be it. I'm going to call Miss Camila back into the room, as she says. And we're gonna close out. I'm gonna tick down through some of these comments, and you go. Any feedback, question, comment, whatever. I'm just going to.
No, nothing in particular. I think that it's that there's never really many closeout comments to make other than to, you know, I feel like there needs to be this moment where we create a real Q&A opportunity.
Yeah.
To see and hear the feedback from our listeners, because that also helps us to know that is information being absorbed, like, or are you and I just having a conversation? Like, we want to hear from our listeners. We want to structure something to ensure that we're giving you what you need, because this excites us. Right, and so we want to make sure we're filling in the blanks for you, so that you can experience this joyous experience of seeking out this level of understanding and have an opportunity to apply it to our daily life. That would be exciting.
So we have to encourage all of you. I mean, since I've so much of what I've been doing these PowerPoint parts of it, so more people have, how can you say, moved off of the Blog Talk platform and onto the Facebook, YouTube platform. But those of you who are checked in on Blog Talk, you are in the best position to have feedback, comments, and questions, because we can take it right away from you. So I'm going to open that opportunity. Push one on your phone if you want to make a comment before we walk away. But alhamdulillah, that's pretty much it for us today, and I'm gonna go ahead. I will also declare the conclusion of that particular concept, the introduction to spiritual physics, imagination. I'm gonna consider that a closed subject right now, and then mashallah, we'll come with something new inshallah next week. So hearing nothing new from you, boo, we going to move on.
Yes, we are.
Alhamdulillah. Allah's peace be on you. Have a wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.